Hello and welcome into another episode of Locked On Wolves. Today in the show, Paul George made the Western Conference All-Star team over Anthony Edwards. Should we have seen that coming? Should it have happened? Also, the latest twist in the is D'Angelo Russell going to be traded at the deadline saga. The deadline is, of course, just about a week and a half away. We'll also look at some recent Jaden McDaniels numbers, a couple thoughts on his play of late, and we'll get to a preview of Wolves Magic on Friday night. It's all upcoming on the show. Welcome in. You are Locked On Wolves.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Today's episode is brought to you by LinkedIn. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/LockedOnNBA. Happy Friday, everybody. Happy weekend and happy Timberwolves game day. A big thank you for making Locked On Wolves your first listen every day. Of course, this show is free and available everywhere, including YouTube, as well as all of your favorite audio platforms. You can also watch on the Locked On Sports Minnesota app on both Roku and Amazon Fire TV. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and my account, which is at bbeacon with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. Real quick, cleaning something up that I realized that I just said in the open. I said the trade deadline's a week and a half away. It's 6 days away. I don't know. I have no idea where week and a half came from. I don't know. Anyway, 6 days away. I want to talk about that here in a second. Let's start with the All-Star break stuff. Or All-Star selection stuff. So the reserves were announced on TNT Thursday night. And I believe only one of the four on the TNT crew, I believe it was only Kenny, who had Ant in his Western Conference All-Stars. I covered this pretty extensively earlier this week. I think it was Wednesday's show. And my prediction actually has been for weeks now, even before this hot streak, I was predicting Ant wouldn't make the All-Star game. The other day, I hedged a little and said it was possible that basically there was one spot that he was competing for. I still ultimately did not think he'd make it. I thought that De'Aaron Fox was going to make it over him. I thought there was a chance Devin Booker would make it over him. And I did not think that Paul George would make it over Anthony Edwards. So like, if you assume there were going to be four guards off the bench, four slots for guard reserves, you knew Ja Morant was going to make it. You knew Damian Lillard was going to make it. And you knew Shai Gilgeous-Alexander should make it. I mean, I thought there was a chance maybe he wouldn't just because, you know, plays for the Thunder. The Thunder are better than people thought, but still, you know, I thought those three would get in and certainly should get in. So then I thought it was De'Aaron Fox, Devin Booker, Anthony Edwards competing for the last spot. I didn't think Paul George really had a realistic chance. I know Paul George has played more games than Devin Booker, but the nature with which he's, you know, the rhythm of him sitting games out is a bit different than Booker, who was really good for the first couple months of the season and now has been out for about a month. So because he's played, you know, four or five less games than George, I don't think makes him that much worse of a candidate. Because if we're already saying like, George can get in even though he rests half the time, then like, why not make that exception for a guy who got hurt at Christmas time and was phenomenal offensively the first 2 months of the season? I don't think there's any question Booker played better than Paul George. So all that to say, Ant should have made it. If that was the, like, Ant or Paul George, like Ant should have been an over Paul George. I'm not arguing that at all. I think De'Aaron Fox should have gotten that spot. And I talked about this more extensively the other day, so I don't want to get back into it. You can go back and listen to it if you missed it, but I thought Fox should have gotten that spot. I think Ant probably would have been the next best candidate for it because of the lack of games for Booker. If Booker had not gotten hurt or had missed, you know, a handful less games, I think Booker probably that's his spot. All that to say, the Western Conference is really competitive in terms of these guard spots. Like, you can't argue against Ja Morant, Damian Lillard, or Shai Gilgeous-Alexander making the team. And you could have the conversation between Fox, Booker, and Ant. I just think it's kind of nuts that Paul George got that spot because he's been fine, like, when he's played, but he doesn't play that much. The offensive numbers aren't, you know, otherworldly. And maybe he's a bit of, he's certainly a better defender. Yeah, better than Booker, better than Fox. I would, at this moment, like, I think we could have a real conversation about who the better on-ball defender is between Paul George and Anthony Edwards. I think we could have that conversation. The track record, of course, is a thing. That's playing into this hybrid vote total from fans, coaches, and players, or media, I should say. So I guess that's why Paul George made it. Not what I wanted to happen. Nothing against Paul George. I just don't think it makes a whole lot of sense. Another quick note here off the top, the other like All-Star breaks upcoming 6 days from now is the trade deadline. That's the other kind of hot topic here. There aren't any other major Timberwolves rumors since I did Wednesday's show with a few more trade deadline notes. So I want to real quickly hit what Zach Lowe of ESPN said on his podcast. And I'll, this is transcribed from Real GM. So just putting that out there. I did not listen to the whole episode. Full disclosure. I'm pulling this aggregated quote and just wanted to say that. I have talked about the D'Angelo Russell stuff for a long time on the show, and I never thought he would get traded this year. I said that back last August. I said if he didn't get traded before the season, he wasn't going to get traded in season. And I stand by that. I have, you know, I a couple weeks ago said, hey, if you could trade him and get Kyle Lowry, I think you'd do it. I was less enthused about a Mike Conley trade. On Wednesday on the show, I talked about this fake trade that was on, where was it? Dan Favalli at Bleacher Report, I think, had this fake trade where the Wolves would be sending out D'Lo and, I don't know, Bryn Forbes, and that was kind of it, maybe a second rounder. And they'd be getting back Mike Conley and John Wall and Terrence Mann. Like, I mean, if you could do that, like, obviously you'd do that, right? Like, if you can get Conley and Terrence Mann in a D'Angelo Russell trade and you're not giving up really anything else in a three-team deal, like, you do that, right? But I don't think I move him in a deal like just for Mike Conley if you're also adding second round picks and additional contracts that you're taking back or whatever that looks like. Like there's a lot of things I wouldn't do in a D'Lo trade, right? So here's what Zach Lowe says on his podcast, again, transcribed by Real GM. It says he, meaning D'Angelo Russell, has been a good offensive player for them. That noise to me, meaning the possibility of him being traded, has kind of quieted. I know there are deals out there they would do. I don't think any teams have met those deal points yet, is what he says about a D'Lo trade, which is exactly in line with what I've been saying. The Wolves would obviously trade D'Angelo Russell if the right trade came along. If the Clippers and I think the Jazz were the third team in that, oh yeah, they were because of Conley. If those three teams got together and the Jazz and Clippers were like, oh yeah, you can have Mike Conley, Terrence Mann, and John Wall in this deal, and you're only giving up D'Lo, Bryn Forbes, and you know maybe one other contract. Oh, I think Naz Reid was the other. So significant piece, right? Was it Naz? I don't even think it was Naz. Whoever, there was one more piece in it. But it doesn't really matter because that would be a great trade for the Wolves. Like, if obviously you do that. The Wolves would, those would be the deal points the Wolves are looking for, right? But if it's like, hey, give us D'Lo and Naz for a future first rounder and some, you know, salary filler to match the salaries, why would the Wolves do that? They're playing much better lately. D'Lo's playing well. You don't want to give up Naz for nothing. I know they're both free agents this summer. You lose the D'Lo salary slot, but like you don't give him away for no reason. You know, jack around with the chemistry once again. So I would be surprised still if D'Lo was traded. If he is, I think it's something more significant, like what or something really tangible in return, which is essentially what Zach Lowe says. So I wanted to throw that out there, and I think it tracks with what everything that I believed all the way along regarding D'Lo. I think the most likely scenario is he walks in the suburb. The Wolves don't get anything for him, which of course, if you want to play the, you know, go back in time game related to what the Wolves traded, of course, the pick that ended up being Jonathan Kuminga and Andrew Wiggins, who was an all-star starter a couple years ago, or was that last year? I think it was last year. For the D'Lo deal, and then obviously, like, one of the Wolves, you know, they have a first-round exit last year, right? But that's another conversation. That's not a reason to trade him for just something. Like, the Wolves have a legit shot in this year's weird Western Conference to get a top, still, to get a top four or five seed and make some noise in the playoffs with a team that is getting better, gelling, hopefully at the right time, getting Carl Anthony Towns back. Why would you trade D'Lo for almost nothing when you can kind of reset that spot this summer, albeit without that huge, you know, chunk of salary? It's not like you're just getting that cap space, but I just think there's so many other ways to go about this. And I'd be surprised if the Wolves just traded D'Lo for the sake of trading him. Even if there are certainly some fit issues and other issues too, with how D'Lo plays sometimes. Okay. I want to spend the whole next segment talking Jaden McDaniels. I want to talk about stats that have popped out for me, where he's at now, what he's, you know, markedly improved on this season. And then we'll close the show by looking at Wolves Magic on Friday night. We haven't seen Orlando since November, so I want to do that here next. Today's episode of Locked On Wolves is brought to us by our title sponsors over at LinkedIn. As a small business owner or hiring manager, you know that success in 2023 all depends on the team members you surround yourself with. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. With LinkedIn Jobs, you can hire qualified candidates more efficiently by matching open roles with people who have the skills, values, and experiences to help you achieve your goals. LinkedIn Jobs helps you quickly attract qualified candidates to your open jobs with targeting tools. They go beyond resume data by using insights from your job post, company, and their 875 million member profiles to put your post in front of the most qualified candidates. Identify the most qualified candidates on LinkedIn Jobs and connect with them fast and for free. LinkedIn Jobs makes it easy to screen and rate applicants based on your job qualifications all in one platform. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonNBA. That's linkedin.com/lockedonNBA to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. All right, let's talk Jaden McDaniels. Timberwolves fans know how impactful he's been this season. I think the NBA is starting to kind of sit up and take note regarding at least his defensive chops, right? I talked a few weeks ago on the show about how I think he's improved overall offensively too. I want to dig into that a bit more. I think it's very clear that his defense has improved. And I know that the narrative around McDaniels, even as a rookie, was like, man, this guy's such a good on-ball defender. I've said this before on the show, but I think that that was overplayed a bit in his rookie year. And at times last year, I think he improved incrementally as the year went on. But I think the profile, you know, the eye test was maybe a little bit off from what he was actually able to do. I think he struggled sometimes on the perimeter with quicker guys. I think he certainly struggled with bigger guys when he played the four a little bit too often early on in his career, especially under Ryan Saunders. He played more four than he did three. But I think he's now earned, he's like, the actual production defensively matches the reputation, and he's a legit, really good defender sitting here right now. Like at this stage, 2.5 years in, Jaden McDaniels is a really good defender. Like, all defense is a conversation this year. And it would, at this point, frankly, if he stays healthy, surprise me if he didn't make all defense next year, if he continues the trajectory he's on defensively. This stat came across Twitter the other day. This was earlier this week. StatMuse tweeted out, players with 50-plus steals and 50-plus blocks this season. There's only two. One is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, all-star Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He leads all guards in blocks. The second player with 50-plus steals and 50-plus blocks this season is Jaden McDaniels. There you go. One of the only two guys with 50, I guess you could call it 100-plus stocks. No, you couldn't, because it's specifically 50 and 50. Anyway, 50-plus steals, 50-plus blocks this season, Jaden McDaniels and SGA. I think all the advanced metrics kind of line up and you know, verify that McDaniels has improved defensively. If you want to look at like ESPN's Real Plus Minus, which is a really good statistic, a really good metric that to kind of try and strip out the noise of lineup data and some of the other stuff and try and figure out like individually, how do these guys perform? It's got him ninth among power forwards at in defensive Real Plus Minus. You know, players he's behind, like Draymond Green's one of the... So the top three are Evan Mobley, Jaren Jackson Jr., and Draymond Green, who are universally regarded as three of the better big man, you know, big wing defenders in the league. And then some other good ones on there, Tobias Harris, PJ Tucker, Jabari Smith was surprised me a little bit. Royce O'Neal, maybe a little bit of a surprise. PJ Washington, and then Jaden McDaniels is ninth, ahead of Aaron Gordon, who a lot of people were pushing to make the All-Star team this year, and is known for his defense, ahead of Anthony Davis, ahead of Patrick Williams, Pascal Siakam, which is significant, among others. So I would argue that that actually undersells him a little. All the box score stuff, you know, would agree with this, the on-off stuff, any of those defensive numbers kind of back up that he's been a plus defender this season. And I think it's 100% true. Now, moving off the defensive numbers, talking about his overall year-over-year improvement, I think the vast majority of his improvement is defensive, because some of the offensive numbers, some are better, some are worse. His assist rate is up, which is great. His usage is flat, but his turnover rate is up, which is not ideal. His free throw rate is up, which is good, but it's still too low. And his three-point rate is down. although he's shooting three-pointers at a higher at a higher clip. He's shooting almost 38% from three. He was sniffing 40% earlier this week. Shows just how volatile that still is. But he's shooting. Let's see. It's a little. It's about 37%. So, you know, under 40%, a little more than one out of every three of his field goal attempts are three-pointers. And that works out to, if you want to talk about, you know, attempts per game, that's 3.2 attempts per game, down a little from 3.6 attempts per game last year, but he's shooting a career high 37.6% from beyond the arc. I think the free throw rate going up is great. The three-point rate going down is maybe to be expected. The one thing to keep an eye on, though, is like, is he shooting too much from the mid-range? You know, he is shooting a little more from the mid-range this season, which isn't great. He's up a couple, you know, about 2% more of his shots are coming from 3 to 10 feet, about 3% more are coming from 10 to 16, and about 0.5% more are coming from 16 foot to three-point line. So he's shooting a little bit more in the mid-range than you'd like him to if he could just convert those into rim attempts or, you know, try to get all the way to the rim. However, the decision-making, which obviously isn't going to show up in these stats, but the reason that assist rate is up is because he's looking to make that right play. If it's quickly swinging the ball, you know, keeping the ball rotating on the perimeter and, you know, from the slot on the perimeter, which I think he's done a pretty good job of this year, or it's putting the ball on the floor and looking to create, I think the Wolves have made a conscious effort or tried to get McDaniels to make a conscious effort to create more, to put the ball on the floor, to be a point forward of sort, which he's not, but like, think that way, right? Put the ball on the floor and look for what the next right play is instead of just saying, okay, I'm going to take... Remember, as a rookie, McDaniels would either just immediately jack up a three or he would pump fake and then slowly kind of take one to two dribbles in and then a step back long two. It's just a miserable shot. He did it all the time as a rookie, and he's basically cut that out of his game. The Wolves have tried to get him to just, you know, be a little bit more patient, first of all, allow the game to slow down, and it has, I think, for him. And then, you know, make that extra pass. And that's why the assist rate is up. It's also why the turnover rate is up. The usage rate is basically flat. So offensively, I think we've seen a shift in his game. I don't know that he's that much better other than the three-point percentage. We've seen a shift in how he's playing. And I'm saying year over year. Obviously, he's much better than he was as a rookie. I think the biggest strides for him have come defensively. Now, the next step is to maintain this high 30s, you know, 37, 38, ideally 39, 40% three-point shooting percentage to keep that free throw rate up close to 0.2. He's at 0.189, which means that for every field goal attempt, for every field goal he attempts, he shoots nearly he shoots 0.189 free throws, right? So that's number of free throw attempts per field goal attempt. So that means that nearly 20% of the time when he's shooting a field goal, he ends up shooting a free throw. You'd like that to be a little higher, but again, we've seen that improve gradually over his first three seasons in the league. So I think most of his improvement, the measurable improvement is mostly on defense, but the offensive numbers are encouraging as well. And two-man lineup data is also pretty interesting here. Like, if you just sort the Wolves' two-man lineups by most used two-man lineups, so the highest minutes, the number one used two-man lineup is Anthony Edwards and Jaden McDaniels, perhaps not surprisingly, because other than McDaniels, I think he got sick earlier this year, missed two or three games. Besides that, you know, you're talking about guys that have been on the floor and have played through stuff, have been available a ton. And they've played the most minutes together as a pairing, and they have a plus 4.4 net rating. And if you look at the Wolves' other top used lineups, the ninth most used lineup is the only other one that's nearly that positive, and that's Kyle Anderson and Jaden McDaniels, and they're a plus 9.6. Go down a bit further. The next really positive one is Rudy Gobert and Kyle Anderson, plus 10.4. But look at all of McDaniels. The number one most used lineup is McDaniels and Edwards, a plus 4.4. Russell McDaniels is the third most used lineup. That's only a plus 0.4. McDaniels and Gobert, a plus one. McDaniels and Anderson, a plus 9.6. McDaniels and Towns, a plus 1.7. McDaniels and Jalen Noel, who's really struggled lately, a plus 7 on the season. McDaniels has been so good defensively that he's dragging some of these really poor defensive players. He's dragging their defensive ratings up in the lineup data specifically, which can't really account for that noise necessarily. But like the defensive rating of Noel and McDaniels as a pairing is 107.6. Which is nuts. Like, Jalen Noel's a miserable defender. That's actually the exact same as McDaniels and Gobert together. A 107.6 defensive rating, which is a weird thing to measure for a two-man lineup. I want to be clear about that. But it's just kind of a crude example of how good McDaniels has been defensively. McDaniels and Noel, 107.6 defensive rating as a pairing. McDaniels and Gobert, an identical 107.6 rating as a defensive rating as a pairing, which, by the way, that's why the McDaniels and Noel pairing has been so much better net rating wise. It's a +7, whereas McDaniels and Gobert is only a +1, because the offensive rating for Gobert and McDaniels together isn't great, because the Wolves offense hasn't been as good with Gobert on the floor so far this season. That's a conversation for another episode, certainly. But all that to say, McDaniels has been fantastic defensively this year. The metrics, the deliverables, the actual results have caught up with the reputation for Jaden McDaniels. And now we just need this reputation to grow, more nationally for folks to really realize just how good he is defensively. And if it's not this year, I mean, if the Wolves make noise, say they finish top 4 or 5 in the Western Conference, which is still on the table, as crazy as that sounds, like, McDaniels may get some buzz for a defensive, all-defensive team. I mean, we'll see. But I think next year, I think that's where we're potentially headed if things continue on the trajectory that they're on currently. All right, let's close the show today by looking at the Wolves' Magic matchup for Friday night. Today's episode of Locked On Wolves is brought to us by our friends over at FanDuel. This year, the only app you need at your Super Bowl party is FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. We are really excited about our new sports betting partner for Locked On because they're the number one sportsbook in America. And if you're new to FanDuel, that's even better. They have so many great features that make betting on sports fun and easy. Download FanDuel now so you can bet Super Bowl 57 with a no-sweat first bet. You'll get up to $3,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. FanDuel lets you bet on everything from the money line to point spreads to who will score a touchdown. The FanDuel Sportsbook app is safe, secure, and super easy to use. And best of all, you can get paid your winnings instantly. Super Bowl weekend is one of my favorite times to get involved in FanDuel. We're just a little over a week out from that. Of course, tons of basketball. Actually, All-Star Weekend is fantastic. Last year, I had a good time with the three-point contest. Actually, did pretty good in the Carl Anthony Towns pick last year to win the three-point contest. Unfortunately, we're not going to get a chance to see him try and repeat. But check all that out at FanDuel. Join FanDuel today at FanDuel.com/LockedOn to claim your no-sweat first bet on Super Bowl 57. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. All right, let's talk Wolves Magic. The Timberwolves have not seen Orlando since, it was like mid-November. It was like a week before Thanksgiving. The Wolves at the time coming into this game were just 6-8. Orlando was 4-10 coming into the game. And the Timberwolves in Orlando jumped out to an 18-point lead at the end of the first quarter. They actually were up by 25 at halftime and then had some of their third quarter issues and ended up winning the game by 18, which, again, same margin they were up by after the first. The Wolves scored 42 points in the first quarter. The offense scuffled a bit in the second half, but Carl Anthony Towns was great. Anthony Edwards was great. They combined in this game, the two of them, to shoot 22 of 35 from the field, which is absurd. Cat had 30 points on 15 shots, 8 of 8 at the line, 2 of 5 outside the arc. He only had 4 rebounds. Remember, the rebounding was down earlier this year for Cat before he got hurt. But he also had 5 assists and a steal. Ant had 35 points on 20 shots, was 7 of 13 outside the arc, greater than 50% on three-point shooting. 8 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals. So a very nice stat-stuffing performance for Ant. He was a +29 in this game and plus-minus. Also, plus-minus King Jordan McLaughlin off the bench in 20 minutes was a +7, which was the best of any bench player. 9 points on 6 shots, 3 assists, and 4 steals for Jordan McLaughlin in this matchup. This was back when Finch was playing him and D'Angelo Russell together for a few minutes a game, and we saw a bit of that. D'Lo did not have a good game for what that's worth. Gobert had a couple big buckets down the stretch to kind of put the Magic away in this game. He finished with 16-8. That was kind of it for the Wolves. Bol Bol, remember, had a huge kind of breakout performance in this game against the Wolves, had 26-12. The Wolves are out-rebounded by 7 to the Magic and won the turnover battle 16-10. Sloppy Magic team. The Magic as a team overall this season, no, they're not good. They're probably one of the worst 5 or 6 teams in the league overall. Detroit, Houston, the Spurs, the Hornets are probably the only teams you'd say are worse. So they're probably, I call them the 5th worst team in the league probably. They played a bit better of late. And so the Wolves have to be careful of that because, well, you know, the Wolves have lost to the Pistons. twice. They've lost to the Spurs. They've lost to the Hornets. All the teams I just mentioned that are actually worse than the Magic, the Wolves have lost to. And recently, the Magic have, they've lost 3 out of 4, but they beat the Sixers on the road a few nights ago. They also beat the Pacers. They beat the Celtics by 15, held Boston to 98 points about a week and a half ago. They beat the Pelicans. They beat Portland not that long ago. They beat Golden State. So they've beaten some good teams, and they have 20 wins on the season. So this is far from a sure thing. It's just theoretically the easiest game on the schedule for a while, because then you get consecutive games against Denver. You get Memphis upcoming. You get Dallas. Like, it's a rough stretch for Minnesota, and they played well recently. But as we've said many times on the show, and Marnie and I have talked about on the postcast that we do live after every Timberwolves game, this team plays their competition for better or for worse. And as Chris Finch said several weeks ago, this team can beat literally any team in the league and lose to literally any team in the league on any given night. And it's scary. That's what Chris Finch said. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what he said. He said it was scary as a coach. And that's why this game is a bit scary. Now, all that to say, I said before the Pistons games, like, hey, these aren't good matchups. The Pistons are not a good matchup for the Wolves because of the things the Pistons do well, the things the Wolves struggle with. Even though the Pistons are bad as a team. The Magic actually aren't that bad of a matchup. The Magic aren't a great offensive rebounding team. They do get to the line a fair amount, but I mean, they don't shoot the ball well from three. Like, the offense overall is not good. They're, what, 26th in offensive rating on Basketball Reference. So as long as you can keep them off the line, which is a big if, the Wolves gave up 34 free throws to Golden State, who was dead last in the league in free throw rate offensively coming into the game on Wednesday. So that's the number one thing you have to look out for. This is a Magic team that's third in free throw rate offensively. And the Wolves foul a lot, right? That's been an issue. Actually, where are they now? Let me check and see where they're at. They were 20th defensively in free throw rate, and I bet that's gone way up. Yeah, they're 22nd now. So they're the eighth worst team in the league in terms of allowing opponents to get to the line. The Magic are the third best team in getting to the line offensively. That's the number one thing. But they're not a great offensive rebounding team. They're not a great three-point shooting team. The Wolves should be fine there. They don't play at a super fast pace, which has been something that's weirdly been an issue for the Wolves this year, because the transition defense and transition offense has been sloppy for the Wolves so far this year. The Magic are also not very good defensively. They're okay. They're 21st, and I say okay for one of the worst teams in the league. That could be worse. Their overall defensive rating, I should say. But they're middle of the pack in turnover rate. They're middle of the pack in opponent free throw rate. Like, they're not going to turn you over a ton. And while they're a good defensive rebounding team, that doesn't really matter. The Wolves don't rely a ton on offensive rebounding either. So this matchup isn't awful. Like, as long as you can manage to not put them on the line 34 times, which the Wolves somehow beat Golden State by, despite doing that the other night, the Wolves should be okay in this game. I'm not super worried about it. I should note, by the way, Paolo Banchero did not play when these two teams faced off in November. And at least as of this recording, there's no reason to think he wouldn't play in this game. Of course, the leader in the clubhouse right now, I would say, for Rookie of the Year. But he did not play the first time around. Otherwise, the Magic are mostly healthy. They've been without Chuma Okeke for a while. Jonathan Isaac did not play on Wednesday. He may play against the Wolves Friday. He came back after not playing for a couple seasons. He's now played 4 games in the past week and a half or so. Just a handful of minutes off the bench for them. So nice to see him back on the floor. But otherwise, it's a relatively healthy Magic team at Target Center. So it's scary. Like, I'd be lying if I said it wasn't. It's a scary matchup because of the Wolves' track record against bad teams, below average teams. But the matchup itself isn't all too bad for the Wolves. The Wolves have a trio of questionable players. Rudy Gobert questionable with the groin injury, which he played, several games in a row after missing a couple, but he did not play Wednesday against Golden State. Torian Prince did play. He's also questionable. And then Bryn Forbes had been out of the rotation, but did not dress on Wednesday due to an ankle sprain. So those three are all questionable coming into this game, and that's as of late on Thursday. So of course, pay attention to updates here as we head into game time Friday night. All right, that's all we have for you today here on the show. We'll, of course, do the live postcast with Marnie Gellner about 45 minutes after Wolves Magic on Friday night. And we do that live on the Locked On Sports Minnesota YouTube channel. It's not live on the Locked On Wolves YouTube. It's Locked On Sports Minnesota. And then we'll post the audio after the fact to this channel. So to the audio feed, wherever you listen to podcasts, you can find it on the Locked On Wolves channel. The video version is on Locked On Sports Minnesota. So be sure to check that out. Subscribe to Locked On Sports Minnesota to be notified when we go live. And a big thank you again for making us your first listen every single day. It's greatly appreciated. Of course, you can watch it on YouTube on our Locked On Wolves YouTube channel, all the other episodes. You can also listen on your favorite audio channel, wherever that might be. You can also watch on the Locked On Sports Minnesota app on both Roku and Amazon Fire TV. You can follow along on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves or at B-Beacon, and that's with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. Of course, the Locked On Wolves podcast is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. Now make your second listen today, the Game to Game NBA podcast. Every moment, every top performance, every result, Locked On Game to Game covers every game from across the NBA with local analysis that only Locked On can deliver. Follow Game to Game on Locked On NBA, available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get podcasts. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.